are listening to From the Margins on CHSR 97.9.
Aggressive state intervention into the local labor movement that ensures that the radical labor movements are marginal.
What they're looking for now is less to get elected and more to come to the favorable attention of capital.
For the first time in history, we have a movement in this country led by indigenous peoples and most importantly, indigenous women.
Repeatedly seeing the attempt to criminalize black victims, to do anything to smear their names, to basically imply that black life isn't worth anything.
Our society teaches women to be ashamed of their bodies, to hate their bodies, to change their bodies.
We see increasing organized repression.
I'm stubborn. I'm not going to back down. This could go on for years and years and years.
People need to realize what type of struggle that they're on.
The police, of course, are going to believe that there's some kind of criminal reason behind this.
Take every day as an act of resistance, whether it was a strike, a riot, or whatever.
It's very difficult for people to engage in sustained dissent. I don't believe it's impossible, though.
Good afternoon, and this afternoon on From the Margins, we got Mike Palachek, National President of the Canadian Union of Postal Workers, regarding the ongoing federal government consultations on Canada Post, concerns and questions about the process and some of the creative proposals that the Canadian Union of Postal Workers has for the Postal Service going forward. So that is coming up. But first, we're going to go to some music, and here's a workers' song. This is Factory by Bruce Springsteen. You may hear another song after that, perhaps, as I try to get the call through. So be back in a bit.
Walks out in the morning light. It's a work, a work, it's a working light. Through the mansions of fear, through the mansions of pain, see my daddy walking towards them factory gates in the rain. Factory takes his hearing, but he understands. He's a working, a working. Somebody's gonna get hurt tonight. It's the working, it's the working life. Cause it's the working, just the working life.
Hello?
Hello, Mike Palachek?
Yeah, that's me.
Hi, this is Asif calling from the margins. Thank you for being on the show.
Yeah, no problem.
All right, so I already gave a bit of an introduction to what we were going to be talking about today, and I thought we would just get right into it. So it's, again, this is Mike Palachek, National President of the Canadian Union of Postal Workers, and yeah, just a bit of background on situation. So there's the task force that is under the federal government tasked with reviewing Canada Post, and they say on their website the goal of the review that they're conducting is to help put Canada Post on a self-sustaining footing while providing valuable services for Canadians well into the future. The views of Canadians matter and are being taken into consideration throughout the review. And they did a phase one of the review a few months back and came up with a report. And now they're touring that report around. as they're doing consultations, as they're calling them, in communities. One just happened in Bathurst, New Brunswick, on October the 6th. So, about these consultations, I'm wondering, do you have any concerns about how the process has been set up, the discussion paper, the process itself? Any concerns, questions about it?
Well, of course, and they've the task force has actually just delivered their discussion paper. But let's remember back a little ways. The Liberals had promised to review, to halt the cuts at Canada Post and hold public consultations about the future of the public post office. They had promised that all options would be on the table. But then they appointed a task force full of, business leaders, essentially CEOs, not people from the community, not people who actually, use the Postal Service per se, but a group of CEOs to write a very business-heavy report recommending essentially the same austerity path as the Conservatives had taken. And at the same time, they didn't take a serious look at avenues for expansion of services, things such as postal banking. In fact, they hired some anonymous experts to find that probably the first business people in the world actually to find that you can't make money with a bank. The idea is quite ridiculous. Actually, they did a polling and found that 7% of the population said they would use a postal bank, and a further 22% said they would probably use it, meaning that the Canada Post has a potential of getting as much as 29% of the banking market right off the bat without any real advertising push. So the idea that these services are not possible is flatly ridiculous. So, yeah, we have some major concerns with what's been put together so far, and the process continues.
Now, in this whole process, I mean, if you go right to the website of the task force, one of the things that they outline that they're reviewing is the financial situation of Canada Post. And there's been a lot over the years, actually, that's been presented to the public about so-called dire financial situation at Canada Post. Would you like to counter this?
Yeah. Well, for years we've heard the same predictions that the sky is falling at Canada Post and that they would be running massive deficits, and frankly, it's never materialized. Canada Post is very well situated to adapt to changes in mail volumes as they have. It's part of the reason Canada Post remains profitable. Again, the task force seemed to buy the same doom and gloom story. They even accepted Canada Post's projections that they would lose money this year, when in reality they're well on their way to a healthy profit already.
So Canada Post is under the CEO, Deepak Chopra, and this was the case under the Harper government. It's still the case now. So for years there's been a particular kind of a management regime that Canada Post has been under. And it continues. I was wondering if you could just elaborate on what some of the problems have been under this regime.
Oh, absolutely. Canada Post, under the current leadership, has been unable to break out of the neoliberal straitjacket that's been hanging over the Western world for decades. It's being run by people who don't actually believe in public services and frankly would rather that the private sector just do everything. That's a major problem. But you can see this agenda coming through recently throughout the Harper years and continuing into the Trudeau government, where management at Canada Post makes a projection for how they expect to do each year. And that projection each year has been off by hundreds of millions of dollars. They underestimate Canada Post's profitability every single year by hundreds of millions of dollars. And it's at the point where it's laughable.
So I'm just wondering, as you mentioned, this has been a neoliberal push, not just in Canada, but other countries to privatize effectively. And, do you see concerns that this is what is taking place? And even the consultations that it's the way you mentioned that the discussion papers framed with a particular kind of a outlook of what a postal service should be. Do you fear that there is an agenda for privatization?
Oh, absolutely. And we were very frustrated because the government specifically ruled out privatization in the outset for this consultation, and yet the task force comes back with a number of recommendations, which would be privatization by stealth, for example, setting up franchise operations and things like that.
Yeah, do you have any other points on that? Like, what are some of these little moves that you've seen over the years that seem to be inroads towards privatization?
Well, certainly we thought the move to community mailboxes or group mailboxes that the Harper government was pushing was designed to relieve the corporation of some of its service obligations, which is exactly the sort of thing that they would do ahead of a privatization push. And let's not forget, these are a lot of the familiar faces here that have been running this same playbook for a very long time in this country. I mean, Mr. John Hamilton, for example, was a former chief of staff of Mike Harris's government. So we know the direction that these people take.
So speaking of direction, the Canadian Union of Postal Workers has offered its own proposals of new directions, even expansion of services. And you mentioned postal banking, as well as I've noted that there's been mention of services targeted at seniors and better use of retail outlets. Could you get into some of these, I guess, starting with postal banking? Like, what is postal banking and how would it benefit the community?
Well, a postal bank is essentially a public bank that's operated through the post office. And outside of North America, that's actually the norm. In most countries, the post office also operates as a public bank. And in fact, did in Canada up until 1968, when it was killed by under a major lobby from the big banks in this country. Canada actually had postal banking from Confederation up until the late 60s. And that basically means that, you know, any post office could be a bank branch. There are, of course, Canada Post is the largest retail network in the country with, you know, twice as many locations as Tim Hortons. So it would be very well situated to provide banking and financial services across the country to remote communities that currently don't have them. And that's what post offices are doing around the world. It really makes sense. But in addition to that, we've put forward ideas for how Canada Post could be used to help lead the green shift, the just transition that we need to make with our economy to meet our climate change targets. The government should be using the Crown corporations to do this, to lead this change. We've put forward ideas about transforming Canada Post's vehicle fleet over to electric vehicles, installing networks of charging stations, and as well as proposed a whole number of services that could be provided through the existing infrastructure.
What are some examples of those services?
Well, certainly one of the things that we proposed, and this is something that has been up and running in France for many years and working very well, there's a service in France where the letter carrier will drop in and knock on the door to check on, say, a senior living at home alone once a week or however many times you like. So these sorts of services, things that actually rely on the network that's in place now to deliver, is what we've been proposing.
Yeah, and I've also seen some mention of better use of the retail outlets. You mentioned how many outlets there are, twice as many as Tim Hortons. I don't even know how big that number is, but it's a large number. So what?
Over 6,000 locations.
Okay. So how can these, you mentioned, of course, postal banking, how can these outlets be even more utilized?
Well, sure, we put together some ideas about using the post offices as a community hub, maybe using the retail spaces to focus or showcase small businesses or art or any number of things. In reality, the potential for what could be done with Canada Post is really unlimited. I mean, We're talking about the largest retail network in the country, the largest delivery network in the country, and the largest logistics network in the country. It's owned by the public, and there's a lot that it could do.
So the consultations are still ongoing, and I'm just wondering what your thoughts are on these consultations and what you think is the best way people can engage with them, if at all, if you think that they're useful, or if you think it's better to not engage in them because of how they're set up. What are your thoughts on these consultations?
Right. Well, the task force has delivered their report now to the standing committee, the Government Committee on Operations and Estimates. And it's that committee which is actually holding consultations across the country. So they've held their first hearings, which we presented to them on the Hill a couple of weeks ago, and now they're headed out on the road and they're holding meetings in communities across the country. But if you were hoping to show up and maybe have some input into that committee, unfortunately, you're not welcome. It's by invitation only to actually speak or give input. They are, however, holding having a survey online through their website. That needs to be completed before October 21st. People can have their input that way.
Right. Now, I believe I saw a story a little while back over the summer about concerns with the survey itself. Are there concerns of how the online process is working? The one that
This is the survey that put out by the government committee, and I actually just completed it myself the other day. There's nothing in it about expanding services, nothing in it about postal banking, for example. It's clear that this government committee isn't taking a serious look at the issues, which is what we were promised.
So there's actually no place on the online survey to comment on thoughts on expansion services like postal banking, like delivery to seniors, et cetera. Would there be any place on that survey for someone to bring it up at all?
There is a place for further comments at the end. So if you get to the end of the survey, you can ask them maybe why they didn't consider postal banking in that. It was one of the main questions they were supposed to be looking at.
So going forward, these consultations are ongoing, and then from that point, the committee is going to then make recommendations to the federal government about what to do. Does the Canadian Union of Postal Workers have a strategy, its own strategy about how to communicate to the government and the people about these proposals that you mentioned?
Oh, we've made very clear to the government what our position is through a series of meetings, both with the task force, with the committee, as well as with the minister. All of our submissions to the committee can be found on our website at cupw.ca. The public can go and read all of the proposals that we've put forward, certainly. But we plan to reach out to the public to mobilize to defend the Postal Service, just like we've been doing for the last 50 years.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Mike Palachuk, President of the Canadian Union of Postal Workers. Are there any final comments you want to leave before going, though?
It's very unfortunate that the task force seemed to have bought the doom and gloom being put forward by Canada Post Management. But the truth is the government has a choice here. They can go the road of austerity and continue the sort of Harper-era cuts at Canada Post, in which case they'll have another war with postal workers and the people who rely on that service. Or they can be the people who bring in new services like postal banking that change the way Canada Post operates and serves the public for the future and frankly creates some good news stories. So they have a choice, and it's up to them to make it. It's up to us to hold them accountable.
Thanks again, Mike, for being on the show.
Thank you.
Have a nice day. Bye. All right, so that was Mike Palachuk, president of the Canadian Union of Postal Workers, national president, I should say. All right, so I'm going to do some follow-up on that story as time goes on. We'll see what happens with the recommendations coming out of these consultations, and no doubt there will be cause to come back to this story and figure out what's going on. Now on to some more music, though. This is Dropkick Murphys with the Worker Song. And that was the Dropkick Murphys with the Worker's Song, but they didn't write that song. The person who did write that song is Dick Gaughan. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. And here is that original song.
And day by hand and by brain to earn your pay who for centuries long past for no more than your bread have bled for your countries and counted your dead in the factories and mills, in the shipyards and mines. We've often been told to keep up with the times, but our skills are not needed. They've streamlined the job, and we're slave drool and stopwatch are blind. They have robbed eye. But when the sky darkens and the prospect is war, who's given a gun and then pushed to the fore and expected to die for the land of our birth, though we've never owned one handful of earth? To starve, we're the first ones to die, we're the first ones in line for that pie in the sky, and we're always the last when the cream is shaved out, for the worker is working when the fat cat's about to die, and all of these things the worker has done, from tilling the fields to carry in the gun. We've been yoked to the plough since time first began. I always expected to carry the can.